Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgara.
We're in the All Things Comedy Studio.
You can tell because it's quiet,
mm-hmm.
and we're very...
calm.
Calm, low-key.
And the sound is impeccable.
Oh my God, you can hear. Wait.
Uh-oh. The tactile experience.
Of material walls.
There, this mic foam, I think it picks up. There's a lady that used to mow the lawn at my grandma's, and I couldn't really pinpoint what the odor was that came off of her body or what its origin was, but she was a sweet lady. And this microphone smells like her, and it just, I'm just thinking about my childhood now.
What if she has a podcast with All Things Comedy Network talking about mowing lawns? First of all, how groundbreaking that it's a woman that mowed lawns.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, come on.
Give it up, everybody.
Who says we're not moving forward?
Who says we're going backwards 1,000 years?
At a speed of 100 miles an hour.
Sickening.
Oh, we're going on a riding lawnmower to hell.
Well, let's do it with our guest today.
Oh, hey.
Patrick Keane, friend of the show.
Hey, Patrick.
Thanks for having me.
I didn't see you over there. I mean, I remember picking you up and driving you here because he did need a ride.
You guys did carpool.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Didn't record it.
No.
Saved the glory for the studio.
We would have blown our wad early, I think. I hate that phrase.
No, stay in it. Just
I hate
stay
that
with
phrase.
It.
I don't believe that it blow your wad means, I don't think it's a sexual reference. I don't know the origin of the phrase blow my wad.
Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's probably a musket thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what they call.
It's a musket thing. And then it got repurposed.
Is that
true? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to take it.
I just feel like the sexual definition has really taken over.
Yeah, it really has.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, we recorded a happy birthday tune for Henry, so we didn't talk anything what we're going to talk about here.
Yeah. We were just happy birthday, Henry Phillips. That's all we did.
Sang it?
We made a little phone video.
Yeah.
We're already going back in time. I'm talking like my parents.
We made a cellular film.
Jesus. And sent it to him, and he was happy.
Yeah, he was happy to see it.
That's very nice.
So happy birthday, Henry.
Now, do boys normally do things like that?
Sure.
Remember birthdays and then sing in two-part harmony, I like to imagine,
well,
in a car.
I don't know how to harmonize. I'm not good at that.
Mm.
But my dad... My sister made me a calendar with everyone's birthday on it, so I would know.
Really?
So I'm not good at it.
With your friends and family?
Yes.
Oh.
It's a calendar solely so I won't miss my nephew and my niece's birthdays.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Wait, am I in there?
You might be.
Let's get me in there. Okay.
When is yours, just to be safe? I'll ask. You don't ask because you already know.
That's right. Mine's May 11th.
May 11th. 5/11.
Yeah. We have some time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Get ready. When's yours?
September 27th.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I was in Canada. 3 straight years I was in Calgary at that club.
Oh, the Comedy Cave.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was interesting. It's always an interesting week. Tuesday to Sunday. That's a long week. It's six nights. It's a long week.
2 shows a night or one?
One Friday, Saturday, too.
Mm.
But
I'm a band from that club.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Did you get into a fight?
No. Work came up that was legit, like a commercial or something. And I had to call at the last minute and say, I can't go there. I'm really sorry. And he yelled at the top of his lungs on the phone. And I said, well, I was going to try and work something out and just come for the weekend, but you're yelling at me. So
bye.
Let's, I'll find another way to go to Calgary.
I actually like when performers just get barred from clubs. It's because it's never really the performer, you know? It's like, who would want the performer not to pursue a better career? Like, oh, that's great. You did that. Okay, come back after you tape the show, and we'd love to have you. We'll find somebody. It's not like they need to work that hard to find an emergency fill-in.
No, they just wanted to let me feel bad.
Well, also, that is not part of it, though, when you're dealing with kind of small-town show business. I always found that. It's one of the main reasons I wanted to leave San Francisco so bad, was the club managers, after the improv closed, the other club managers really seem to love just lording everything over the comics. Just like, you have to stand in a line, you have to wait, like all that shit where I was just like, this has nothing to do with comedy or who's good. This is just weird, like Stanford Prison Experiment control, which I don't.
Which is right down the road from San Francisco.
That's right, it is. Yeah. So it makes sense that it would bleed up into the Bay Area. It bled up.
That explains why the first time I did the punchline, I was deloused before. That's fun.
Is Molly still running it?
I don't know. I think I'm banned from there for commenting on there being a Dave Matthews lyric tattooed on her arm. I'm really sorry. Oh, I've listened to some of that band's other songs, and they're not that bad in retrospect.
Yeah, I like them.
I like when they're riffing.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Maybe I don't like it when they're riffing. I like their pop stuff. This mic really stinks.
Really?
Yeah. No what? Offense. I don't. It's just the foam. You know, there's a lot of spitting. And
but I you said the imagine. Lady was sweet. So did she smell bad, but you still had a good experience?
I wouldn't explain the smell as sweet. I would go more tart.
She was tart.
She was a tart smelling lady.
So even though it brings back good memories, it's still nauseating.
No, gross. I was just trying to, like, is it like lawn clippings and BO combined or like not flossing?
Well, I'm gonna come off as insane. If we get more graphic, I'm gonna sound like she just didn't wash a lot, and on her body there was different nooks and crannies that maybe didn't get a lot of attention.
Oh my God.
And, she mowed her calves were just veiny, giant. It looked like Popeye's arm, but she had like a big, giant belly and these giant boobs and a shaved head and really thick glasses, and she was intimidating. She was like a bitch. We didn't always need the lawn mowed.
She sounds like a fertility statue.
She was like, you remember the marble sculptures, the way they used to sculpt? She had that classic body that they used to put into marble.
Uh-huh.
Just a butt like.
And that's what, that'll be the 80s?
Strong warrior.
When you were a kid, so it was the early 80s maybe.
Yeah,
because you were cutting grass by the time probably the late 80s or the early
90s. Yeah. My grass cutting days were over. I was working in a, she used to come into the shirt shop too, and we didn't even have grass. She just came in. She was everywhere. She walked all around town.
You're saying she liked shirts?
We made her shirts for her lawn business, I believe. I'd have to do some, the guy that worked for me, if he was here, he would clarify everything.
But let's get him on the horn.
I can't remember. Yeah.
How do you think she voted?
Oh, I think she's probably moved on to a better place at this point.
Oh, at this point.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, just out of town.
Yeah, right, Canada.
Right, up north.
Yeah. So we're going to say how we voted and then what we hope happens to minorities and illegals in this country. Ready? Yeah. Go, Pat.
Yeah, I vote. I'm white, male, heterosexual from Orange County, and I thought that I voted Hillary, and I was like, wow, if I'm voting Hillary, then it's gotten to everybody, right? Like, we're safe. Like, I'm sure all the women in Orange County will be, you know, like, because I thought housewives, I've seen housewives, growing up, these housewives.
Of the OC.
Of the OC.
The television program.
Like, going to parties and whatever, listening, watching men, husbands, fathers, you know, vocalize their opinions, but then, and in front of everybody, the housewives agree, but then when they're driving carpool, they're like, actually, I really, this.
Yeah.
180. So I'm like, oh, there's enough of that.
Going on.
That enough women will vote, even in conservative areas, for Hillary.
And everyone.
And it didn't
So many happen. People didn't vote.
Right?
So many people didn't vote.
It's like, it's really a punch in the gut. Like, I didn't think it'd be close.
Yeah.
and I don't know, minority, I don't know, like black people and Arabs, I was already concerned about, you know? Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, oh, my Jewish friends might be in trouble now. Like, I thought they were in the clear.
Yeah.
They might even be, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We're in the nuts.
It's like, it's almost like we were all standing next to the ocean on a nice cliff watching the sunset and just like, it's going to go down and it's going to come up tomorrow. And it goes down, doesn't come up, and then the ground underneath us just erodes into the sea, and then we all just fall into it.
Yeah,
that's kind of what
the sun doesn't come up, and then we look further into the horizon and see there's a maintenance man trying to plug in the sun with a giant extension cord.
And they're like, "You're gonna have to submit some paperwork to get this plugged back in." God.
Yeah, and then he's getting fired because he's not from here.
It's fucking insanity.
Oh God, yeah.
Well,
yeah. Also, I have that thing of, like, I feel like there are people who are very, the people who are presentationally pro-Trump, but would get into the, I don't know why I thought this, but would get into the voting booth, and because they're just in there by themselves, would, like, vote with their heart and do the right thing. Yeah. And also vote for, like, a historical candidate. A woman should lead this country. I mean, it's absolutely necessary at this point with the shit that's going on now, like, and that... I honestly just had that security of knowing, like, people do the right thing and they know what's best. Yeah.
And the right thing for me, I just thought everyone didn't like this guy and just wasn't yelling and ranting about it. Although I really thought that most people, even in banjo yodeling areas, I really thought that they go, well, not really. He just, I find him entertaining, but of course I'm not going to vote for him.
But I mean, someone brought
up... I know I'm wearing overalls and a hat that references farting, but I'm not going to vote for this guy.
Well, but they were talking about... I mean, I don't know enough about politics or whatever, but somebody was saying this, which I think is very valid, which is like, you know, when the economy fell in 2008, there's so many poor people in this country now that, like, when you're on the coast or if you live above a certain pay rate, you don't experience it and you don't know. But there's all those people that were truly abandoned. Like, the economy fell, the end. Like, they didn't get it back and they didn't, no one helped them. And no one, you know, they, you know, sold all those fucked up subprime mortgages and all that stuff. It's like, there are people who just had to, like, move into their parents' basement or were homeless or whatever, and no one ever circled back around to go, here's the plan for you guys. Trump went around the country and was like, I've got a plan. I know what we're going to do. So of course you would. It's someone that's finally coming to pick you up after you've been abandoned.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Once someone actually explained that, I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's the blind. I guess I didn't notice how often he was promising that. Because was he always saying that? He's like, I'm going to save poor people?
He said everything.
Yeah.
He said an immediate, like...
bold state, like, I love the veterans. I love the firemen. I love poor people. I love the... You know, he just said stupid little simple sentences that people were like, oh, it must be true. I don't know.
Did,
like,
you guys...
Believe me. And he always put his finger
believe
up.
Me.
Believe me.
We're going to get ISIS. Believe me. Believe me? That's
believe
your plan?
Me.
And people were like, okay, like... Hook, line, and sinker.
Because it's that weird dad energy of, like, that one hand on the hip, kind of like, you listen, I'm taking care of business. And then we're also used to that kind of like, oh yeah, the man's gonna go get this business taken care of. Like, you need to trust that.
Yeah, there's a linguist that broke down his speeches and the way that he put the way the certain words, the inflection on certain words and the simplicity of his sentences and how they were just scrambled to have to end on a, I'm not explaining this well, but there's a video that explains it, and he even suggests that he's speaking, you know, at a seventh grade reading level. Hillary was at like 12th grade or 11th grade or something, and Bernie was at college speaking to college students. According to the way their sentences were broken down, it's a really interesting.
Wow, is that a YouTube video?
Yeah, it's really great, and it's not. It's pretty. It's just this guy who's not stating his opinion. He's almost bowing down to his ability to speak influentially,
mm-hmm.
with influence, yeah. And then showed examples of it, and it was really impressive. Like, he highlighted the words that, and how easy it was for him to get to them, and how if someone's barely paying attention or doesn't have the mental capacity to hang on every word, he will be the most successful. And then that Samantha Bee thing, where it shows that he might just not be able to read. Like, there are so many examples of him saying, like, oh, I'm not wearing my glasses, or take that, no more teleprompters. Remember, he went on this big teleprompter.
Oh, yeah.
Where in the future, when I'm president, there will be no more teleprompters. That's why the thing's... I'm spinning all over it. It's me.
You. It was
it's
you
me
all
from
along.
Last week. It's me. It I'm just smelling this, and I'm like, whoa, it smells like an old lawnmower. No, I need to floss more. Or I did 2 weeks ago when I was spitting on this. Anyway, there's so many examples. Watch that Samantha Bee thing.
Yeah, no, it's, I will.
Because now we just have to try and entertain ourselves with the past.
Well, when Schwarzenegger was governor, it was like, well, he looks presidential.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Is that the only frigging criteria? Like,
but also, yeah, I would disagree. Yeah. He looks like someone's bodyguard. Like, he always looks so weird in those suits.
In those suits,
me,
yeah.
Yeah, but his face is, when he's like grumpy and making a face and looking, not making any expressions at all, he does look kind of... like a face on Rushmore a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. he looks carvable on the side of a mountain. That's all I really want.
It's carvability. That's the most important.
Every time I vote, I'm like, how will they look 12 foot tall in limestone?
In history, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, he was just concerned about his secret family when he had his brow furrowed like that. He was just like, have I hidden them well enough? Does anyone know?
But the maid, right? Was it the maid?
Yeah. And a son.
I would have voted for him over Trump. You know, they're like, Trump's so far, he's like the furthest person the American nation could provide that you'd vote for. Like,
or relate to, yeah.
It's like, what?
And don't you think it's weird that he looks so much like the Brexit guy from England?
Oh, what's that? I don't think I know what that guy looks like.
He's got like crazy bleached blonde hair also. Like, they look the same.
I've seen him, and I just don't know his face.
If I was a conspiracy theorist, I would be losing my mind right now. Because this all just smacks of, like, there's five companies that own all of the news outlets. That's why you're never seeing anything accurately. They're reporting this Breitbart guy as... no one's using the word racist. No one using the word white nationalist. They're just saying extreme. Like, it's all this stuff where you're just like, ooh, this is everything everyone's been talking about.
That these are all characters, and that Andy Kaufman he's still alive.
Maybe.
I've been hearing that theory.
Is that what you'd like to have it be?
Yeah, it's just Andy Kaufman. He's really his game. He's so good.
Is England happy with Brexit? Do we know anything about that? Has anybody heard?
So.
I believe they're not.
They're not happy.
And they're trying to reverse it themselves.
Great. So that means in a month we're going to be like, or 2 months or whatever it's been, we're going to be like, oh, no, we'll take Hillary now. Like, oh, well. That's
well,
what
there
we could have done in November.
I think it's not a waste of time to... There's these, I think, change.org or moveon.org. They have these petitions where you can contact the actual specific electoral college members, these mysterious electoral college people, or just... there's another one where it's just has... There's a recount for December 16th or 19th. Because she did get the popular vote, so it can't hurt to go to those things and sign those petitions, I don't think.
Except for if it starts a civil war, because those people want to fight really bad. I've never had so many eggs calling me names on Twitter.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's crazy. And I've done like 2 political tweets.
I did a really dumb one late. I was feeling bad, and I went, after he won, I just went to a bar by myself like a loser and drank and started fighting with friends from high school, and I said something on Twitter that someone said, hey, you have to take that down, and I did, but some guy with an American flag for a face screenshot it and passed it around, and I legitimately have been getting death threats, and they make me a little nervous, but I just keep blocking those people, and now...
But that's what they say to everybody. Bobcat Goldthwait, I did a show at Largo last night, and the same thing's happening to Bobcat, and he was just sent his daughter a message like, we all need to stick together, and we're going to be okay, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and he's been getting death threats, and, you know, it's just a barrage. They're just being... the thing they know how to be, yeah. I think. Those extreme people that are like really living it up and thinking this is their time to paint a swastika on everything and say that they're going to kill everybody. It's like, a time for them.
If it did happen, they sure would kick our asses. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to hold a gun. Yeah. And I don't have access to it.
Well, I loved your post because we're in Montana. We did that festival together. Oh, yeah. And you shot a gun once and you're like, you posted. I was happy because you posted, shot it. Great. I don't get it.
I don't get
and
guns.
I really like
what you did. It was a gun. Granted, it was a handgun that shot a shotgun shell, like a handheld shotgun. I'm like, that one looks, because it's got a big barrel. And I shot it and I think I had a bruise on my whole arm, and I immediately tasted blood in my mouth. And I'm not like...
The blood of the innocent?
It was horrifying how clearly you could kill someone with a gun. And that feeling is so scary. I don't know. I'd hate guns. But those people that in the South, they like them. And so, yeah, if there was a civil war, holy cats.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just trying to reason with people and be witty like I used to get out of fights.
Where would the line be? The line would be like in Long Beach between L.A. and Orange County.
The line would be around my body, and it would be made of chalk. Because that's not what you're saying.
The Mason-Dixon, Chris Fairbanks contour. But, yeah, I mean, all these little islands would be, you know, my sister lives in Jackson Hole. You were raised in Missoula. I mean, these little islands of liberal bastions in
yeah
the
that
States.
Are it's, struggling
it's
right kinda, now
yeah it's nuts
yeah
I don't know, people voting against their own economic interest. I don't know if it's just like, if it's oh no, white male, we're losing our grip, so they tapped into that fear. But like, I'm like, you know, Hillary's better for your economic situation to 20 of the states that voted against her. I honestly wonder if
she wasn't a Clinton, if it was like Elizabeth Warren, if it would have worked. Because it's the ability for them to spin like, this is the old government that got you where you were, so you can't go back to that. That logic makes sense to me. If you were gutted in 2008, and then the person who's always been a lifelong politician that caused the thing that those, you know, basically those are all the people that made it happen in their minds, then why would you? Even just say you were the most, it was not sexism and it was not any of those things. You were just trying to make a good decision for your family.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If only they had gotten a divorce and we were voting for Rodham. That's like that name. Imagine that. That's
Rodham.
A powerful name.
It
Rodham is.
Rodham
is.
Sounds like an English explosion band.
But, I mean, nobody was more like... prepared. Nixon and Bush Sr., very prepared, whether their legacies are good or not. I mean, he was a VP for a while, and then George Sr. was head of China, he's head of the CIA,
sure.
He was a VP. Like, she was a first lady, she was a senator, she was a secretary of state. Nobody's more prepared.
Yeah, even more so than those guys were, yeah.
Yeah.
She was ready to do it and wanted to do it and would be surrounded by great people.
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe the campaign wasn't great.
And now we have Newt Gingrich again.
I can't believe he's back in the...
The boys are back in town! The boys are back in town!
The scariest boys that have ever been in town are back.
The boys are back.
Yeah,
was that in 48 Hours?
I think that's from 48...
The boys are back in town. That's a different...
No, that's a different... Okay. Yeah. It's hard to... And then there's a... And that's a power of stuff. Or wait. And that's powerful.
Oh, that's
there's tough. A song where they're like, I think I'm in love. And that's powerful stuff. They're such men that they don't want to acknowledge that that's an emotion they're experiencing.
I love that that's the label they give to.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty powerful stuff, I guess.
You could power an engine.
I owe it to her. I better propose. Powerful stuff.
Yeah, what'd you say earlier? You're like, that feeling's supposed to be for my mom. What's going on?
And yeah, there's plenty of the Fabulous Thunderbirds really are going to be playing every time Trump and Gingrich walk out hand in hand to that podium.
Don't forget about
mutually shoot a Gatling gun above the audience.
Meanwhile, there's Mike Pence in the background just planning on all the ovaries that he can invade. That man is He's the worst. I've never heard of him.
Right? Indiana.
That's why.
Yeah. Indiana. Yeah.
And they hate him there.
They're conservative.
State. Yeah. And they hate him.
That's why I'm glad that they're putting barriers up around Trump Plaza and everything, making sure no one assassinates him. I'm on board with that.
I am too.
Yeah, let's keep him alive. Let's keep him in a cryogenic chamber next to Disney's severed head.
Put him in that Kiefer Sutherland separate room. Keep him in the survivor's room. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Yeah, because Pence is... It creeps me out how quiet he is. He's just always in the back with his weird death eye sockets, smiling and planning on how he can somehow invade your womb. It's just the grossest thing of all time.
Just standing in the back.
Which, I mean, Republicans...
Petting a cat.
I heard New York was a little bit like it was here, where it was just, you're walking around, it's like a morgue, people just death on their faces.
Yeah.
And it's just the weirdest energy
ever. I had a friend there that said it was just, which is what I said to her, it's that it was really quiet, which is the creepiest thing.
That's the
weirdest. For me, that was 9/11. The weirdest.
Oddly, the day after was 11/9.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
A lot of people have probably pointed that out now, but I was the first to notice.
Yeah.
On this podcast?
No, on a tweet I read.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I did have to get off Facebook for my own survival, I think, or for all of ours. It's just too much.
Yeah.
From both sides, even. You know, I was like, even mad at my own side. I'm like, how did we let it? Like, this was a joke a year ago.
Well, and the Democrat, now everyone's infighting. There's all this stuff of whose fault it was and who should be talking and who shouldn't. You can see it playing out of what the problem is.
I know, and I'm doing that.
I am too.
Wanting to point fingers. I'm like, why? Who did this?
Well, of course we do.
Yeah.
Like, it's something traumatic has happened. And it's like.
And also, they kept track, and statistically, you can see who didn't vote. So
one out.
I read
is one out of three.
A lot of people just didn't vote. Everyone didn't vote. Yeah,
Voters. One out of three Latin voters voted Trump, which I was blown away by.
Yeah.
But
Latino
I don't know. You know, I don't know those needs. I guess clearly, I'm just naive. I'm mad at my own self. I'm like, why am I naive? Like I was telling you before, that red when you, because it was later in the day. It was like 3 or 4. I was like, oh, I should check it out. See where we are, and to see that much red, I was like, oh my! I felt like the attack was coming of what I don't know,
but
this is surely the color that they have of states that haven't decided, but that's red. You know, I'm 44, I know red. And it was scary, and it's still like such a kick to the groin, you know.
I think there's one of the main problems on the Democratic side is everybody wants to be the smartest, so there's a lot of here's actually what's happening, and here's what you don't need to worry about. And I feel like everybody lulled each other into that kind of like, and here's what's really happening. I read an article about how there was a massive Latino turnout for Clinton, the day before or so. And so I was just like completely relaxed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, those are the numbers that we need, especially, you know, like, and that was completely not true.
I think it's, there was so many things that just weren't true that were being said to reassure us.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen.
Yeah. When in your mind was
it? It's the first time we've walked Aaron.
Clearly.
That's so funny. I'm going to go fuck with the sound levels.
He's a serious white supremacist, and he's very offended right now.
No, no, he's sad. He's sad. He even has a shirt on today.
No, he's
expressing it. Yeah.
Really? About sadness?
Yeah. Well, he
what
said,
did it say?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh,
and it's from the movie The Sandlot.
When he took Florida, that's when, I mean, I don't know what it was for you, the moment.
Yeah, I think Wisconsin was where I got scared, because I thought, there was just those lingering states. It's like, it's okay. Even some of them were light blue, predicting that she had them, because it was at that point.
I thought North Carolina was going to go to her.
I think when it was light blue or light red, it was just based on popular votes coming in. Who knows when the electoral shit happens or when or what? I don't even know what it is. That's where I'm dumb.
Yeah.
I really don't know what the electoral college is.
Me
it a
either.
College? Is it like DeVry?
It's like Phoenix University where you can do it online.
So you can sign these
electoral
petitions.
And then electoral state.
And it'll just go upload to their website where people go do their homework at the electoral college. What was your tweet? We all have
Electile.
Electile dysfunction. And I tweeted, America has electoral dysfunction.
It was before mine.
But
that's
why
you guys are your besties.
I had a picture of a guy on a bed with his wife disappointed in the background. No, I went that extra mile to have a visual. Yeah. But that means Patrick, all Patrick needs is a word. He doesn't need
that. He just needed that eye.
Here's a visual aid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine had more retweets. But the point is that I'm just kidding. Oh, God, what a funny.
Well, what does it do for comedy? I don't even know what it does for comedy. I don't even think anybody's ready to.
Oh, punk rock is coming back. Hip hop's going to get good again.
I was trying to write a joke about that last night. I didn't have the energy, but because I did a show last night and it was very bizarre. Like, it was just weird. I opened by walking out and saying goodbye to everybody. Like, just walking up to people and being like, bye, thank you so much, bye. And they were, like, laughing, but I could tell they didn't like it.
Yeah.
But it was, like, basically I had to talk about how I'm not a political comedian and that now I just have to talk about myself because that's all I actually do. Of course, I wrote a couple things at the top, but it's that thing of, like there's a couple people that got on stage and were just, like, this is fucked, and like talking about it and being really emotional, and the audience loved it because it was, you know, it's like an echo chamber. It was everybody, it's Hollywood, you know, it's a bunch of mostly
at
liberals.
At least you had had the day after you had your show at the Improv, you had business class, and we none of us wanted to go out. We were trying to cancel it, and but it ended up being really therapeutic.
Oh, yeah, that was the one that was closest.
Yeah, that was the next day. And we were like, well, we can't.
Oh, you had to get on Wednesday night or Thursday night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to do that show with us.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, I'd love to, of course. Yeah. Is it once a year, month or something?
Once a year, so we'll see you in 2017.
I don't know why I asked that.
No, I know what you did. Yeah, once a month.
The night after, that's
crazy. And the audience, you could tell, was kind of drained. Everyone was like in a daze.
Well, we tried to cancel, and April texted Sam Valera to say, like, should we cancel the show? Does anyone even want to do this? And Sam goes, well, you have sold 10 tickets. And that, like, broke my heart. I was like, there's 10 people that need us. And I was like, April, this is what this job is for. Yeah. Like, we have to go do this show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then more people came, and it turned out to be super fun. But it was really weird.
Yeah.
Because there was, at one point, April wanted to plan a show, which I thought was a great idea, where we were going to have all women and you be on the show as like the celebration. And then the closer it got, I was like, should we just keep the people we already booked? Because maybe let's not overplan.
The audience was mostly women again, right?
Yeah.
I like that. I like an audience of all.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it would make me nervous. I'm like, oh, no. I mean, you know my material. It's like, which masturbation joke is going to hit home with these girls the hardest?
And which one did this time? Parents?
I think the one, the cobwebbing one. No, that's about farting. The point is, they like, I have frat boy locker room jokes, and they still appreciated me, so...
I did the night before the election, opening for Tig, and Fortune performed as well, and it was really cool because it was the night before, and there was a lot of women there. There's quite a gay contingent, and it was a great energy, and it was tomorrow's going to be a nice little revolution for women leaders, you know, and it felt good, and then 24 hours later is all it took. for that to like, oh God. It was so right. It's like,
well, and that's the part that I was just saying this to somebody where I haven't even really approached those feelings yet.
Yeah.
Of the profound disappointment of what I actually wanted to happen, when I thought was going to happen, and was actually kind of projecting and getting ready, which would just be the coolest thing in the world. And instead, it was like it went past disappointment and into holy fuck, we're on the Titanic.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Which is the way, like, every once in a while, like, that, you almost just made me tear up just now, because it was just like, oh, that's right. There was this little window of time where a lot of us honestly believed we were about to have our first female president. Yeah. And then that window fucking slammed shut on our head, essentially.
So many of my friends that have little girls said the same thing on their Facebook, because where else do you go but Facebook? But they were saying, my little girls went to sleep so excited, and then they woke up to the opposite of Christmas, and they like cried you know, little girls everywhere were like, went to bed all excited. Because their parents were like, this is really important. And little girls were like, oh, yeah, I'm on board. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so that's, bums me out. But anyway, yeah, I didn't, the only thing I think is funny is the idea of the Secret Service, if the first ever Secret Service that aren't willing to jump in front of a bullet.
That would be amazing.
Like, they're like, oh, I thought I could make it, but my leg cramped up. I was supposed to drink more water. They got him? Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
Stupid. I'm dehydrated.
Literally.
Man, usually I would have been diving right in front of that. Oh, damn,
sorry.
This leg of mine, this bum knee.
Making Frank Underwood look normal. The guy from House of is that House of Cards or House of Blues? Yeah, it's just you rotten fuck.
At no point did Frank Underwood's character have sex with a child
at a sex party.
Which I 100% believe he did. I don't know.
Is that the rape allegation that
against
him? She dropped it because they wouldn't. I mean, of course, she's not going to.
Nice little payoff or threats or both.
Yeah.
Did you see in Patton's most recent special?
Sure. She's 17 now, so come on.
Now I just
high-five the guy, right? Good Lord. Anyway.
Patton's most recent special earlier this year where he said, we're so overdue for a female leader. And I don't know if you saw, he talks about how so many great editors of film have been females because the male ego is like, a director is like, here's 1,000 hours of footage. It's a shame we have to turn into just 2 hours. And he has to give it to a female editor who's like, here, let me make some sense and find a plot and a through line.
Oh, that's funny.
And he says, he compares it to like when a guy's, you know, having sex with a woman and he's ejaculating. He's like, oh, there's a lawyer. Oh, there's an architect. Oh, Nobel Peace Prize winner. And it takes a woman to go, okay, let me go take your seed and form a central nervous system and a baby and go through 9 months. And it's so fitting.
Yeah, that's
so good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is out there.
And
that's amazing. He's great. So you, on that Largo show, Patton also went up.
Yeah.
Did you follow him? Because I imagine it's one of the
closed.
First times.
He middled for me.
Well,
no.
That, I mean, I bet people were also emotional just because how much has he been doing stand-up since his wife passed
and
away.
He talks about
of
it.
Of course he did.
Yeah. No, he came out, talked a little bit at the beginning. Blaine hosted. It was me and Bobcat.
Any awkwardness you felt on stage was maybe also because of that. Because they were probably like at close to tears hearing him do stand up.
Right? Yeah, he's been doing it a little bit though. But yeah, there and also I feel like here's the thing I kind of like. I feel like everyone's moving into this stage of vulnerability. It's like forced vulnerability that everyone has to be in now.
Yeah.
And like a lot of those people that tried it, they think they're being mean to me on Twitter where it's like, yeah, cry baby. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to. Like, it's, you should too. Like, you should try to work through your feelings and actually be in touch with what's going on inside you because that's the reason that you scream at people and why you're threatening people's lives and why you're in this state. Like, because you need to look at yourself and you need to emote. And I'm sorry someone hit you in the face over and over when you were too little to process it. Like, it's that kind of thing where, like, people were standing up on stage and being super honest, like, I'm fucking scared, or I'm really sad, or Patton going, this year has been so awful, my fucking wife died. And, like, people weren't going, like, ooh, don't talk about that. People were, like, leaning forward and loving it.
You're right. Like, even I feel like I need to start talking about what I actually feel in my stand-up. And I've always been, I've always just made up jokes that have nothing to do about my life.
Oh, I'm hiding. I'm running further.
Yeah.
Like, some people are getting more in touch. I get further.
Yeah,
you're some more, like, over there. Like, I should run for office. Like, you know? I mean, like, don't worry about those wars. We have gay marriage. Like, I'm better at that. I'm worse at stand-up after 16 years than when I never started.
Your instincts are probably correct.
To run?
No, to just do jokes and try and be funny and not change the kind of person you are on stage.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But I can't. It's been eating away at me for a while anyway.
I love, you know,
I'm not Mitch Hedberg, man.
I love your, I still love your Three Stooges joke that you don't really tell.
I forgot about
that. Remember
that
one?
I forgot about
it. Do it.
Well, it's conversational. I can.
Great. Well, this is perfect.
It's just usually only men, like the Three Stooges. Like, it's guy humor. And it's not even good. It's not.
No, it's violent.
But it's funny. There's something specific about the Three Stooges is every episode, there are some kind of independent contractors, or they're like usually construction workers, or they're always doing a labor job. But sometimes it's real specific, like it's the Civil War and they're dentists and they're ill equipped, or they are supposed to bake a really fancy cake. Sometimes it's lighthearted like that. Or one episode they had to fix like a jewelry box, and it was very, he's like, my mother's jewelry was in this, I need this box filled. And they're like, yeah, we can do it for you. And then they get to work and someone elbows the other guy and it's like, you fuck you, and he pokes him in the eyeballs with his fingers. And it's really violent. It's like some of the stuff they do, hammers to the head, boards with nails on them into your ass. You bet.
Yeah.
They're fucking. They
tweezers. Is it pliers on a tongue?
Oh yeah, God. Yeah.
And twisting it. That is. Yeah, yeah. You're right. Pliers on the tongue is the worst. Yeah. And then the person comes back and it's like, why? There's the windows are broken and there's blood everywhere. And then.
So you're saying they don't do the job well.
Yeah. The joke is if it's any consolation, it was kind of funny to some of the men in the room. And then. He says, well, that's the last time I hire Three Stooges Plumbing to bake me a fancy cake. And it never really did that well.
But the idea is so beautiful. Like,
it is
how
there,
do they
yeah,
keep getting employed? And you also said, like, wasn't Yelp.
Who keeps referring them?
Yeah, who keeps referring? And then you break down all that. You're like, they had to move a piano twice or something, like on two different episodes.
You need to tell me how it used to work.
Block of ice.
I can't.
Remember the block of ice? They had to get up to the apartment. They couldn't get a block of ice up this apartment in the middle of summer in Manhattan. I would think that they're in New York.
It kept
Brooklyn
melting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The stakes were always really high. They just don't work together well.
God.
We used to have pizza, like go to the pizza parlor after softball games when I was little. Right?
And they played Three Stooges?
Yes.
Was it Little Big Man Pizza?
No, I think it was Shakey's.
At Little Big Man Pizza in Missoula, Montana, they played Three Stooges all on a loop.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's crazy. Well, why did you had a pizza place like that, too?
We did. It was like...
In the Bay Area, right?
Yeah, in Petaluma, my hometown. And when it was... They would do like... It would be Laurel and Hardy sometimes. It would be Three Stooges, and then it would be like cartoons, like Tom and Jerry. And when it was Three Stooges, I would leave because it was upsetting to me. Like
they were scary.
They were weird looking men. They're not attractive men.
Yeah.
Like they look.
They're mean in the face,
and they're mean to each other.
Mo is scary.
Mo is very scary, and it would just be like this weird feeling where it's just like I am not going to be in here while this is on.
How did they? I mean, if you watch it now, they're physical comedy. They are funny.
Yo, yeah.
People, but
this thing where one of them there's a block for getting poked in the eye where they put their hand on their nose, like you get poked in the eye so much by your brother or whoever this person is, you have to make up a move to keep his fingers out of your eyes.
Yeah, most of the defensive moves are the best comedy in that. Like and then the distraction of like having your hand wave around, it's like, well, it's gonna hit me at some point. I just gotta keep my eye on this wavering hand. Too late. Right in the eyeballs. The fact that you would go for the eyeballs in a fight is just... Anyway.
I do like the tall... They had the leggy blonde. Remember, she's always kind of the love interest or the... There's like,
I don't remember
they're always the shortest three in the episode. And then there's two older guys that are bigger. And then there's the leggy blonde. And they've played... like, they played sheiks. They played politicians. They played chefs as well, or whatever. And it's like you can hire other people. You're making good money here. Or whatever. But definitely not the Marx Brothers quality, which has some of that. But
yeah, that's
no. But they're good. The Marx Brothers is like
The dialogue's amazing,
insanely funny, and the physical comp. Yeah, amazing.
How often? I mean, I got into it late, but Buster Keaton. Have you guys ever watched that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's Jackie Chan, basically.
Yeah.
They were playing a bunch of Buster Keaton movies at that silent movie theater.
Cinefamily.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe. There's a moment where he's on a building, and he leaps onto one of those train crossing signs, like the what would you call that? Like the It's just up. It's up vertical. The railroad and he jumps on it, and it slowly lowers, and you can see the crank on it, like, spinning so fast, and somehow they made it smoke. And then a Model T Ford goes by at, like, 20 miles an hour, and he drops into it, and his neck whips back. It is such... He could have died so easily.
Oh yeah.
There's a scene where they did dig a trench, and a real log rolls over him, and it did break his back, but he shot the rest of the movie. Like... He's Jackie Chan.
Yeah, and, he's amazing.
And then because, you know, those are silent films, but all of his acting is really subtle face comedy. Like, he's not overdoing it at all. I'm such a big fan of Buster Keaton.
Yeah, he's amazing. And his eyes, because his eyes were so huge that, like, he didn't have to do that much.
Yeah. Yeah, he's... Yeah.
He was in...
All in his eyes. And he's wearing eyeliner. That always helps his eyes
Yeah,
pop.
I recommend it.
Yeah. Even when he played Hitler, eyeliner.
Who did? Oh, Chaplin played. Did Buster Keaton play Hitler too?
They
oh,
all
no.
played.
They all played.
Yeah, no, you got all me. You right. got no, me. Hey, I confused one. The two. I confused. I like Keaton more than Chaplin.
Do you?
Yeah, I'll say it.
I love this
is where I start getting political.
Oh, shit. This is where people get really angry.
Yeah, sorry.
You have to choose. You can't like them both.
Oh, God, I still feel weird.
Pick
about
a side.
Do you think Newt Gingrich looks like Mo Howard?
Yeah.
I think that's a similar
Oh, my God. He's the same face, same hair.
That same lower. Oh, I can't believe he's back.
Yeah.
Guess who's
Boys
back.
Are back in town.
Guess who's back.
It's
just such a murderer's row of superstars.
Oh, God.
Ain't that tough enough?
That's the other song.
Buster Keaton had lines.
Ain't that tough enough? Down.
I got to look up the 48 Hour song, the boy, because it's a different
Boys
Are Back.
I think Ain't That Tough Enough.
It's the Boys Are Back in Town. That
that's
one, right?
That's
who's
it, yeah.
that?
I think it's like Bob Seger or somebody. Okay. He did all those 80s
he
movies where it's
too,
like
yeah.
two dudes running around.
Like a truck, yeah, like shake down, break down, take down, everybody wants them to the crowd.
Oh, I think we could get sued for all these.
Think so?
Yeah, well, I think that
like
no, they
a rock.
Brendan Mull, the Bone Zone played some song, and they had to take that episode down.
Did they play it or did they sing it?
I don't know. I think they sung it.
Really?
That's okay.
Marijuana got voted like Californians needed marijuana to be legal before we smoked it. It's so funny. I didn't even realize. I was like, it's not legal here. You know?
Yeah.
I think most Californians were like that.
But. It means all those. All those shops with the green neon signs can stay open now.
Okay.
The 1,000
that have degenerates hanging out. It's like you guys are the worst.
Yeah, just a dude.
For the image marijuana.
With a bald eagle on his neck tattoo. Oh, just a insane clown posse guy wearing lime green scrubs, OR scrubs.
Yeah.
And if you're not interested in getting your medical marijuana card from him, they threaten you.
Yeah, I was hoping.
On the Venice boardwalk.
On the
Oh, you don't smoke weed? You might like it. Like, they'll heckle you as you want. Sorry, no, I just don't want to have a business transaction with you.
Yeah.
You
but he's a surgeon. Why wouldn't you want to?
That's a surgeon with a clown nose.
When Obama got elected, I was like, maybe this will be the end of white people in dreadlocks. And that's really what I was hoping for. And it didn't happen.
It did not happen.
You see it less and less. But
yeah.
But
they also did. We did vote in California for those two education reform bills that are going to be very good, because that's what we need. That's how we don't have this happen again.
Yeah,
right.
Because everybody gets a fucking education for themselves.
Oh, right. Yeah, like years down the line. Yeah, that's what we should focus on now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll affect my sister like next year.
They
get money. I mean,
like
the school. It's so crazy when my sister tells me things. She's been a grammar school teacher for 30 years.
Oh, my God.
And she tells me shit where I'm just like, I'll either cry or just be like, please don't tell me this because I don't know what to do. Like, she buys all the supplies.
Oh, God. Are you kidding me?
Oh,
on that salary,
well,
she's buying supplies?
Yes. Even
it's
more
nuts.
How is that
confusingly, because my sister's a librarian for kids that age, and everyone she works with, she had to keep her political opinions to herself because they all voted for Trump. And they're teachers.
Wow.
So it's like the.
But it's
how
that
is
thing.
It not the top priority? Like kids' health, safety, education, and education. It's so far, and then health and safety aren't even that. But how is that not the top priority or like one of the top three?
Because it doesn't scare you. It doesn't scare you if somebody says the schools are crumbling, the children are, you know, there's like pools of water on the ground or whatever. That doesn't affect
anybody.
I already
went to school.
Yes, exactly. But if someone says the foreigners are going to invade or they already have, they're here now, what are you going to do? Well, that actually strikes alarm in people. So that's what they focus on.
There's going to be so much hate crime. Yeah. That is going to be just overlooked. It's going to happen all the time. It's so scary. Sorry.
And it's happening now. No,
it is. Yeah, yes. No, it already started. There's... But the good news is that Trump on this 60 Minutes interview said stop it. So I think
shit.
That's going to take.
Everyone's going to watch. Did you hear that? Watch that 60 Minutes interview.
Did you see the SNL? Did you guys see the SNL sketches? It was Chappelle's opening.
He said the wall isn't going to be that tremendous anymore. It's just going to be pretty good. So he's backing down.
Trump. So that,
yeah, he said it's going to be an okay wall or an electric fence. He said, yeah. So
they're
it's
never
fine.
Making that wall.
No, of course not.
I was surprised at that monologue.
The SNL.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. It's. I don't watch that show much at all. So to see
what
someone,
monologue?
Chappelle's monologue.
He
up
was.
Top.
He was the host.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought which happens all the time if you're like a day late in watching something. Everybody's like, this is incredible, this is amazing. So then when I went to watch, I was like, get ready to have your ears blasted off. And it did not seem that way to me at all. And then at the end, he said, which I'm positive, I was fighting with someone about this, because they were like, why would he say give him a chance? Why would he do that? I'm like, because this is like network television. And I'm positive to say all the things that he said before.
He had to agree.
He had to. I'm positive that they were like, you end it by making sure that you are not being like inflammatory and putting it on him. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But the whole thing just had that tone of like, it's just that I feel like the lesson that we're learning, that Democrats have learned, is just like, you can joke around all you want, but then shit's going to happen. Like, it doesn't, you can be smart and witty
and
all that shit.
And delve into your art over it.
Yeah. But there are people whose lives are on the line, and they're just going to vote for the lifeboat that they think might be coming. It's like, is that one going to save you or that one going to save you?
The fear-based stuff?
Yeah.
This country operated from fear. And we're doing very well. It's like, what? Who's at your doorstep taking...
Yeah.
Your stuff away, you know. Who? What white person can't get a
You're
job?
You're uninformed. You
know, like
that's what a lot of Fox News.
You're
people.
A cuck.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I read about that today too. About the
what is it? How do you spell that?
C-U-C-K.
Oh, a cuck.
A cuck. Like it means a pussy male. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we're cucks.
Oh wow, I am cuck. Proud. Yeah. Did you expect that response? Damn right.
Cuck-a-doodle-me. Suck my cuck. I don't know. One term for this guy, or will he make it through one term? I don't know.
Nope. They're going to, December 19th, Electoral College, reversal, sign those petitions.
I mean.
Hey, we're living in an age where, yeah, it would be the first time, but wouldn't that be cool?
I mean, it would be amazing, but I feel like.
Civil War.
I feel like this is the time where what I'm seeing on Twitter, which I have to stop looking at it, but.
Yeah.
This is the time where, like, literally you see a person going, wear a safety pin to show that you are an ally and in support of, you know, minorities or people that might be at risk. And then I see five tweets of people going, hate mongers can wear safety pins too. Like,
I know,
everybody
my sister
wants
was
to
making
be,
all these safety pin jewelry and then got discouraged because there's all these things. It's like, that's not helping because everyone's got an opinion.
Yes.
Even about protesting. They're like, well, that just is gonna make you complacent. And then you're going to be okay with everything because you feel you did your part. And I'm like, wow, you had to dig deep to. There's no reason not to protest. It's amazing that people are willing to naysay anything that you're willing to do other than just be an armchair general,
right.
As my dad
used
to say. Yeah, I guess if you. Not just with military stuff, but just saying while you sit at home on a bag of Doritos, saying, nothing's going to help.
Yeah, I mean,
let me fire off.
There wasn't a high black voter turnout.
I'm
going to
wear
right?
a safety pin.
There wasn't. Was there a high black voter turnout or a black?
Yes,
high,
I think
there was.
Yeah.
So there was, and obviously, I would think mostly for Hillary.
Yeah,
I would think.
Like, it wasn't it like in the 80s or 90s?
Was it?
I think so.
I felt like I read that there wasn't so much.
Because I didn't know the country was 55% women.
Maybe I was just reading about California or something. Hmm. But who knows? I can understand not being as excited as...
As a woman, do you think there's women that didn't want to see her be the first woman? Is that another? That's a whole other...
That blows my mind. I don't understand.
Well, that's...
That'd be funny if when Washington ran against Adams in the late 1700s... Well, I don't want him to be the first man. what the hell else are you going to do, man? There's not a woman candidate for 1,000 candidates. Like, we'd have to go 1,000. Betsy Ross, I guess, could have run.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Yeah, no, those numbers were a humongous bummer. But, I mean, I think that's like, there's so much, I feel like there's so much that everybody's dealing with in this election of, like, it's all mirror work. It's how much do you hate yourself? What are the levels of self-hatred? And then you're projecting that out onto other people. So if you're like, Hillary could never lead, that's like, I'm not in control of my own life. I mean, that's what it
that's
feels
a
like
really
to me.
Really interesting way.
Or if it's
I
like,
think you're right.
If my husband wants Trump, then I'm on board. Or I want a man because I believe those are the only people that can really be leaders, or that's all I'm comfortable with.
Right, like we said before with the stance and the...
Yeah.
This is how it goes.
Right.
Yeah, but like you said, I thought that once those women were in the booths, they would be like, now, let's be realistic. Here we go.
Yeah.
Just, my husband doesn't know this.
Yeah, he doesn't know what I'm going to do.
Stop being so loyal to your damn husband.
Having been, like, being a person that sometimes has to be a leader at jobs or whatever, people are very uncomfortable with women being in charge. It's hilarious. It's crazy.
I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I've had female bosses. I don't think people 20 years older, like men 20 years older than me, had many female bosses.
That's what it is.
No.
Yeah. We just got to get rid of some of these old people. I mean, I know it'll happen, but God, they got to die quicker.
I mean, yeah, and it's like the Mad Men generation, where it's like you're supposed to be a secretary. No. Maybe you'll be something creative, but you certainly are not going to tell me what to do.
Old guys farting in their polyester with their quivering hand. Giving one, they're voting just like me. Get in the box.
I have to go with the checklist.
I don't like old people.
You don't?
I'm really mad at old people.
Is that who you're going to blame?
Yeah.
Okay.
The elderly.
Yeah.
Oldies aren't goodies, Karen.
Okay.
It's good to do that. This is interesting because we've been mobile every time we've done. Well, I mean, you guys have
now
been stationary for a while, but I haven't been stationary with you ever before.
That's right. So, you've done it twice before,
right? Yeah, we've
done
it twice.
Yeah.
We had nice little rides around L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Down there around the Monte.
And what's the difference for you today?
Yeah.
How do you feel about this one?
Too serious?
You have to stay grounded. You have to in this one. Yeah, it's a drop back quarterback. So you have to stay in the pocket with this.
I'm not going to get sports references.
Okay.
Can you relate it to skateboarding?
Yeah. You stay on the ramp, or do you want to go freelance? Is that even a?
Well, you can get a job in skateboarding with a big company where you have to show up every day, or you can skateboard out of your home and just do it. Send people invoices. And
now,
do
can you relate it to mascara? And then I can understand.
Yeah. I mean, you don't, because mascara can go on the eyes for regular parts of the year, but then on Halloween, you know, you go off the grid a little and get some shit later down your face.
Maybe black out a tooth with some mascara.
Women
are much better at talking male shit than men are women shit.
I think women are better at describing their Mad Max costume than you are.
Well, we have
no
to.
No CGI. Yeah.
You guys don't have to. We have to.
My nephew's a good skateboarder. I was going to send him. He's only six now.
That's too late for you to try and relate to that. Freelance, Jesus.
Wait, what were you actually trying to say, though?
I know.
Because when we're in the car, you can comment, oh, look, there's, you know, Tommy's original burgers.
Right.
Yeah, and that takes us off on another.
Yeah, there's
distractions. But we were able to stay, yeah.
Right. Or there's near-death car accidents and stuff that'll, like, spice up the conversation. But here it's like an interrogation room.
It's gnarly. Do you know LA so much better because you've been, I mean, you've seen all the streets, really?
Yeah, I don't. I'm usually in such a hazy panic, you know. But I have learned a lot about, like, the Hollywood area. There's areas that I know better now because
Uber or pizza
I've done this before.
Yeah, now you can do anything.
Yeah, I could deliver pizza.
I feel like it's the biggest city in the world. It's like seven different cities. I feel like this city, it's if you can somehow manage it in your brain, then you can manage any city. Like Tokyo, I lived in Japan for a couple of years. Tokyo is more manageable than LA is. It's just...
Really?
Yeah, it's because it's not as spread out. It, you know, people moved to LA, there wasn't a city. They just popped up little provinces, Santa Monica, Pasadena. Those are both LA.
What were you doing in Tokyo? Every time I hear about someone living in Tokyo, I think they're like hiding something.
I was an exchange. Well, Montana and Japan have kind of a sister
thing. I know. Yeah. My whole life we had Japanese girls in our basement. My mom would like house Japanese students.
You should have called the police.
They would just be in a room with her Mary Kay, like her Mary Kay storage room.
That statement.
And I just
the way you made it.
I'm not kidding. And I'd share a bathroom with these nice girls, and I didn't really know how they didn't speak English very well, and they're really sweet. I'm just remembering now. I know you guys are looking at me funny, but
no,
a lot of Japanese girls.
Well, Montana schools have a lot.
I'll just repeat it. You know, just
it blows their mind. For
I was in high school; they were in college.
Japanese people to see Montana, those mountains, for the first time, and just that empty space is great.
Yeah,
that's kind of a weird slice of America. Like, it's a lot of Americans don't see it.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, there's. When I'm back home, or if I go outside of my town, like to eastern Montana or up north by the High Line, as they call it, it is America 100 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's, you don't want to have a conversation with someone about what we've been talking about, but
oh God,
other than that, it's like almost refreshing that it's like, you know, there's just old cabins and a wagon that are still there. It's like no one cleaned that up. It's because it wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. It literally, the older we get, the closer that gets to us somehow, you know, because it's like, oh, 1890s was Little Bighorn or whatever. And that,
yeah.
You know.
That wasn't that long ago.
It's not really not that long ago.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to know we're going back in that direction.
Yeah, we're headed back.
No.
You know, it's going to be fun. I'm going to learn how to make biscuits and wear skirts and stuff.
What a great sketch. And reality.
And should I buy a gun? You guys? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm worried now because of the Civil War. I'm worried about my neighbors having them. I was never worried about Russians parachuting down like in Red Dawn, the movie.
Mm-hmm. Except for now you should be.
Yeah. That could happen. I think we have this weird...
Oh, I have pepper spray. Never mind.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. I have pepper spray and brass knuckles.
I said, you know, the other night at a show, I said that I mentioned that I went to college in Montana, and like a whole row cheered. It was in L.A., and I was like, what? Like, what? And I was like, where are you guys from? They're like, Helena. And I was like,
that
oh
never happens.
It never happened.
You said
years.
I went to Carroll.
Yeah, and we talked for a second. And then I was like, anybody else from Montana? And some other group screams from another part of the room. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Everyone's leaving.
And they were all Missoula. And I was like, oh, I went to school in Helena. Chris Fairbanks went to. And then there was like a girl up that must have known you because she's like, woo, she cheered for your name.
Well, she's probably just a fan of my comedy from a distance.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you're right. She's probably an old neighbor.
Maybe what? She thought it was like Fairbanks, Alaska. He's just naming cities like in the northern Seattle.
What club was that?
Largo. It was Largo for Tig's show. And it might have been somebody that was a fan of both you guys or something. I don't know.
Wow, cool.
But the night before the fall is what how it'll go down in history. In We did this to ourselves, you know? That's this, like humanity did this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I said when I went out, is my friend actually wrote this joke. I had dinner with my friend beforehand, and he made this joke, and I'm like, can I please say that on stage tonight? Because it's so good. And he goes, it's like a 9/11 that we voted for is really what it feels like. Right? It's a good one.
That's a great one.
No shots fired.
Yeah.
But casualties on the way. So are all those laws that have been enacted in the last 8 years just going to like start being repealed? Like, oh no, gay marriage is outlawed here.
I'm most worried about that.
That's what he was saying.
That's unbelievable. Why would we go back? Like, why?
Who was saying that on 60 Minutes?
Donald Trump. He said he was going to overturn Roe versus Wade, and he was going to get rid of Obamacare.
That's going to cost $40 billion.
Yeah,
I've read.
So we've got unwanted pregnancies, unwanted kids,
and no health care,
and education. Who's going to? It's a mess, man. And girls going for abortions to doctors. No, that was the one thing Obama protected.
Crazy.
At the last minute, he protected Planned Parenthood, at least for poor folks.
What do you mean?
He signed a, like, Planned Parenthood is untouchable. That is protected. He signed a thing, to my knowledge.
Well, that's good. I didn't hear about that.
Unless Roe v. Wade gets overturned. It's just no one's going to shut down Planned Parenthood.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. The, Trump is saying he's going to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, that's like a much bigger problem.
What he wants to do. I mean, uh-huh.
And then women can still vote in the next election, and black people, that would hopefully. And we'll see what else we can get done in the next 4 years.
He'll so just chip away.
Instead of abortions, we're all going to have some weird skittish kids standing next to us during our speeches that we've never talked to. We're just going to have some Westworld robot child who's tweaking out because his face about to open up and show a circuitry board. The kid looked like the kid from Westworld.
Who, Baron?
The kid that, yeah. Did he even know he was there? They clearly did not know they're going to win. Woke that kid up at whatever, 3 a.m. there and propped him up.
Yeah.
And he was so tired. I feel bad that everyone's making fun of the kid. Me included, but he was just tired. And you can see in his face, he's like, I was kind of hoping Clinton would win so I could have a dad.
Yeah.
He's like, well, no, I'm never going to get to know this guy. Do I even want to? That's what he's thinking in his whole head.
There goes us playing catch every weekend.
Yeah, on
the roof.
The guy's never even thrown me a glance, much less a baseball. Poor kid.
Wow.
Getting just...
Well, Pat, anything to plug?
Yeah.
That asshole guest, where is he? Just the Twitter feed, I think, right?
Sure.
At Citizen Keen.
Yeah.
You'll see similar tweets by Fairbanks, so if you just want to follow you, that's fine, too.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of the same ideas, so if you like mine, I'll go ahead and just forward you to one of Patrick's that are similar. And watch me in some Clash Royale commercials that are on YouTube. They're kind of funny.
What's that mean, Clash Royale?
It's a video game.
Oh.
Al Madrigal's in some of them. He owns this place.
This whole building?
Just this room.
Oh.
And what are you doing?
I'm just bumming out.
Yeah, me too.
On Twitter.
Well, you guys, you've been listening to the comedy podcast called Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR.
Honk, honk.
Hang in there, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll get through it.
With Karen and Chris.